Amen. It's happened with surprising speed, and if you look at the span of human history, it's very, very recent, but we have been all caught up in it. It affects all of our lives, and that, of course, is the cloud. Everybody in this sanctuary today is living in the cloud. When you send emails, when you bank, when you buy stuff online, when you read the news on your iPad. When you think about it, we have shoved so much of our civilization out into the cloud in such a short time, it's really rather remarkable. I have my little iPhone here, and about 10 years ago, these really didn't exist. And now so much of our lives are attached to devices like this. The cloud is in some ways a miraculous invention, and we can carry the world's knowledge and in many ways the world's problems with us wherever we go. But maybe the cloud isn't that new. Maybe the cloud is not something that our generation has invented. Think about the cloud in Jesus' day. Think about the cloud that was described in the letter to the Hebrews, when it was said, "Because we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us." Now, this is one of those deceptive pieces of scripture which a preacher could just dig into and spend hours unpacking. I'm not going to do that today. And the truth is, that's not even the assigned lesson for All Saints Day. But it's appropriate to what we're discussing. It's appropriate to thinking about the church, which doesn't just exist in this time and place, but exists in the past and in the future. It involves people that we know and remember and love, and people who are complete strangers to us. Our society is enamored of the new, and we think about the future all the time. And we want to get there fast. But Scripture and the people of antiquity knew that the past is with us. We are shaped by those who came before us. We as a community and we as individuals. And perhaps we feel a debt of gratitude to them. Perhaps we feel resentment. Perhaps we don't know what we think. But if you look at the bulletin, you'll see one of my favorite quotes from Faulkner: "The past is never dead. It's not even past." And it's true. The past is with us this morning, in this place, at this time. Now, we in the church like to talk about saints, and we've been doing it for a long time, and sometimes our attitude towards the saints has been one of great respect and adoration, and other times it's been anger, and we've ripped statues of saints off the walls and knocked windows that depicted their lives out of their frames. The Reformation had no use for the saints of the church. But over the years, we've sort of reclaimed them. But there's a misconception about sainthood. It's a misconception about what it means to be a saint. Oftentimes, saints are portrayed as these super righteous, super pure, superhuman figures. You and I can't hope to be those kinds of people, can we? But our society has an ability to do two things at once. So just as we're building up saints, and we're saying these folks are amazing and they're incredible, we like to tear them down. And we like to find everything wrong they did. There was a bit of a brouhaha recently when some research was done, and it seems to be pretty well sourced, about Martin Luther King Jr. He's a tremendous preacher and a great civil rights leader and a savvy political operator, but he didn't have the best sexual ethics. He wasn't always loyal to his wife. And our society, parts of it at least, would say, well, that just discounts everything King did. And that shows a misunderstanding of sainthood and what it means to be a saint. All of the good that King did, all of the inspiration he offered to previous generations and to our generation, is still valid. Barack Obama was asked about cancel culture recently, and he said that the world is messy. There are ambiguities. People who do really good stuff have flaws. Now, why am I telling you all of this? Because you all do really good stuff, even though you have flaws. I don't know how much good stuff I do, but I know I've got flaws. None of us is perfect. No human who has ever walked this earth has been perfect, save Jesus. And even Jesus had his temper. Even Jesus got angry. I can guarantee you that Saint Francis of Assisi had his bad days. That Dorothy Day, the great worker in the city in the early 20th century, I'm sure she had her days. But that makes them no less saints. My hope in the church is that we'll heed the words of the hymns we sang this morning. That anybody and everybody can be a saint. Now, I had the good fortune many years ago of worshiping at a couple of different churches in Boston. And Sam Lloyd was the rector of Trinity Church, and he spent some time after and before serving at Trinity. He had two rotations there, down at the National Cathedral in Washington. And when he left, the cathedral chapter decided to publish a collection of his sermons. Far more eloquently than I could, I think he really sums up what this day is about and what the church is about in a sermon he preached on an All Saints Day. And the sermon was called The Real Thing. He preached, "I have to say, I know plenty of ordinary everyday saints here in this cathedral. And I'll add as an aside, here in this church. And I admire them enough not to embarrass them by naming them today. But they are the ones who show me Christ's light day in, day out. They are the great cloud of witnesses that keep showing me what it means to live Christ's way. This is the real thing. This is what Christianity is for. The church is meant to be a factory for saints. If it isn't making saints, it isn't worth bothering with. And if it is, then it is something the world can't get along without. And so, my fellow saints, our lives are intended to be the only real answer to the age-old saga of religion gone bad. Of course, we could try the excuse that it's hard to be a saint when you work in an office or classroom or lab, or don't have a job at all. Saints are made of more heroic stuff, we may tell ourselves. But we can work out our sainthood anywhere. We can ask God to fill us, to help us keep our heads straight and our hearts open in a pinched and frightened world. We can pray and read scripture and keep our promises and serve the poor. It's not that hard. If you look at today's reading from Luke, Jesus is preaching the Sermon on the Plain. And he's talking about the poor and the abused and those who mourn. Those are the saints. And he tells the faithful what they are called to do, which is to care for the poor, to heal the wounds, to build community, to be good people. That's the kind of thing that you and I can do. That is how we can become saints. Sam continued in his sermon, "Sainthood is mostly about the little things, about what you do for God this afternoon or tomorrow." There's a moment in the play A Man for All Seasons when Sir Thomas More is encouraging his son-in-law to become a teacher. The young man protests, "Who would notice me except God and my students?" And More responds, "Not a bad audience, that." Not a bad audience for those of us called to be ordinary saints doing God's will day in, day out. Getting kids to school, insisting that business is more than the bottom line, hanging in there in a public school classroom, looking out for a neighbor, trying to be helpful and generous with those hit by our sinking economy. I'll note this was preached back in 2008. That's what the church is called to do, and that is who we are called to be. The amazing things about the saints, particularly the saints of old, isn't the spectacular and often gruesome ways in which they died. That's not why they were saints. They were saints because of the things they did during their lives. And I think back to St. Peter, the rock upon whom Jesus said the church would be built. Talk about somebody with feet of clay. If Peter could be a saint, you can be a saint, and I can be a saint. And that will prepare us for the future. Because right now, we have the benefit of being inspired by and surrounded by that great cloud of witnesses. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. There's an old adage that nothing in life is guaranteed but death and taxes. And people might work really, really hard to evade paying their taxes. But as of November 3rd, 2019, nobody who has ever lived has escaped death. We will all die. And Jesus tells us, and our faith tells us, that rather than being consigned to oblivion, we will then be part of that great cloud of witnesses, and we will live on in the cloud.